what a Savior. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I try to get away from preaching on the second advent, the second coming of Jesus Christ and the advent, and I just can't get away from it. Like I said a couple weeks ago, I said most churches not preaching on the second advent of Jesus Christ. They're not preaching on the rapture. They're not preaching on that stuff. Religion as a whole, they're all preparing for some kind of Messiah. And we know what that Messiah is going to be. He's going to be Antichrist. He's going to be an Antichrist. When I was in Israel, I told the Jews, a couple of the Jewish guys, I was in the Institute, the Temple Institute. I told the guy, the Bible says the guy that's going to show up is going to be a Syrian, and he's going to be part Jew, part Assyrian. And the guy said, we won't follow no Assyrian. We will not follow no Assyrian. So I said, that's what the Bible says he's going to be. So I'm in the Temple Institute. They got all the priest outfits. They got everything ready for the temple to be rebuilt. They got everything. They're ready for it. And he argued with me a little bit about it. But when we talked about the Bible, he started listening to me. So look what the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2. It says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying that the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And the Bible talks about, you know, these damnable heresies coming in, and they're teaching, most people don't understand about Islam. In Islam, they believe they got a Messiah coming. That's why they believe they got to take the world. Islam, ISIS is, they're Sunnis. And you got the Iran, they're Shiites. And that's why Obama gave Iran that 100 and some billion dollars, whatever it was. He gave that to them. And they're trying to build their kingdom. And, you know, everybody's trying to build a kingdom. And the Catholic Church is trying to build a kingdom. They're trying to prepare. They think the Pope ought to be the one in charge. They're not preaching about Jesus coming back. And churches are not preaching about Jesus coming back. People don't want to hear about that. They say, man, you've got a lot of this stuff going on in the world. The war is going on in the world. All this junk going on. And you know what? It doesn't depress me to preach about it. It doesn't depress me about reading about it. Because all the way through the Bible, there's over 300 passages talking about the second advent of Jesus Christ. The main theme of the Bible is Jesus sitting on the throne, the second advent. The Lord Jesus Christ coming back, getting his rightful place. And all the gods that the world worships, all the gods, so-called gods, the world worships are just, they're little gods with a little G. And that's why the devil, when he came to Jesus Christ in Matthew 4, he said, I'll give you all the kingdoms. I'll give you all the kingdoms. You just bow down and worship me. And the devil, Jesus didn't say, well, you don't have them. The devil has them. And the devil has the kingdoms of this world right now in his hand. But the devil can't do nothing outside of God's divine prophecies from the Word of God. He can't do nothing. But the Bible says there are going to be heresies. There's been heresies. There's been people teaching heresies. That's why they don't. There's a big push against the Bible, the King James Bible. They say, "Oh, the Bible ain't the Word of God. Man made the Bible. Oh, man wrote the Bible and all that stuff." That's showing their ignorance. And God would not leave man on this planet without giving him instructions. That's your instructions. God created man. God made man. We didn't come from animals. We didn't come from monkeys and all that junk, even though the world says that. I said this. It's not wrong to kill a deer. It's not wrong to kill another animal. If we came from animals and in the survival of the fittest, then what's wrong with killing each other? There's something wrong. You know why? There's laws. And the law comes from the Word of God. They get their laws from the Word of God. It's wrong. And they try to do away with the Bible. I'm going to tell you something. You get rid of the Bible. If America didn't have the Bible, we'd be a third-rate country right now. People would be starving to death if it wasn't for the Bible, if it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, I believe that. You say, you believe it? I believe that with all my heart. I mean, our founding fathers came over with a Bible in their hand. They came over with a Bible. They believed the Bible. They wanted to get away from religion. And here we got religion that follows us, religion in the world. But the Bible says, it says, and many shall follow depositious ways, in verse 2, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. The way of truth has always been evil spoken of. Talking about Jesus Christ, the only way. People say, I've had people tell me, say, you mean to tell me if I don't do what you say? I've had guys tell me on the job, roofers say, you don't mean to tell me if I don't believe what you believe, then I'm going to hell? I said, no, that I didn't say that. I said, the Bible says that if you don't trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you're going to hell. If you don't trust Jesus Christ, the only one died for you. Buddha didn't die for you. Muhammad didn't die for you. I mean, none of these other so-called gods, little g, never died for you. Jesus Christ died for you. He paid your sin debt. He was God in the flesh that paid the sin debt. The Bible says, and many shall follow depositious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth is evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they frame words, make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For God, if God spare not the angels that sin, but cast them down into hell, there's hell. There's a hell. And people say, well, I don't believe in hell. I don't believe in hell. Well, you can believe, say that all you want. That doesn't change the fact there is a hell. And when people want to tell you to get out of their face and all that stuff, they want to tell you go to hell. That's the worst place they can think of. And it says, deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved on the judgment. Spare not the old world and save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness. So God, the Bible talks about the Lord coming back. Take to chapter 3. Look what the Bible says. And now the second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. You know what we need to do? You need to remember what God did for you. You need to say, God, help my mind be pure through the Word of God. Help me remember what God did for me, where he's bringing me, taking me to, and what he's doing for me now. God's done a lot, amen. I mean, if it wasn't like Brother Mike was teaching Sunday school this morning, if it wasn't for the Lord, we'd all be in trouble, brother. We'd all be in hell with our back broken, our eyes scratched out. And we all deserve to go to hell. There's not a person in this room that doesn't deserve to go to hell. But God had mercy on us and saved us, amen, when you called upon him. It says that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of the apostles of the Lord Jesus, the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall not come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. You got people that will scoff and make fun of the Bible, make fun of God, make fun of you being a Christian on the job, trying to live right. They make fun of that. But I'm going to tell you something. I had a lot of guys make fun of me when I was on the job working with them, roofers on. But when they had trouble, I was the first one they called. I was the first one they asked me to pray. And they asked me to pray for them, asked me to help them. And you say, what did you do? I helped them. I didn't say, well, you mocked, you made fun. No, I didn't do that. I helped them. And the Bible says, saying, where is the promise of his coming? We've been hearing that. I've been hearing that since I got saved. People said, where is the promise? I mean, the Bible talks about Jesus going to come back a long time ago, 1970s. Yeah, but here we are, not 2000, getting ready to go 2020. And you say, Lord hadn't come back yet, but where he's coming. He's coming. Old saying that we used to have a sticker on the back of the car, so he's coming. Boy, is he mad. He's coming, brother. He's coming back. And I tell you what, I'm glad I'm on the right side. I'm glad I'm on his side. I'm on his side. Whose side are you on anyway? Whose side are you on? I'm on the Lord's side. And they're saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. You know what happens to most Christians? They get serving God for years and years, and then they'll quit. They'll quit serving God because they think, well, he hadn't come back yet. Oh, he hadn't come back yet. The things ain't happening yet. I'm going to tell you something. All you got to do is look around the world, see the signs of the time. A guy just called me the other day. He said, guess what happened over in Sweden the other day? I said, what's that? He said, they just now put 3,000 people volunteered to put chips in their hand. 3,000 people put chips in their hand. You know what? They have the technology right now to fulfill the scripture. They've been putting them in animals. They've been putting them in seals. They've been putting them in sharks. They've been putting all these. Why? They can track them. You know what? The world says, hey, well, why don't we do that? And you would think, that'd be a great idea. Why don't we put that in children and girls and boys that end up disappearing and they kill people and we can locate them? I say, yeah, that'd be good. I think that'd be great. Then that's what the world's thinking. But when that chip is connected to a man, which is called the Antichrist or the Christ, and when it's connected to him, look out. Man, wouldn't it be a blessing to be able to go on your computer, or they can go on a computer and they can locate somebody that quick? They can locate your car where you're at. They got GPS in all your cars. They got all that, you know, tracking in their cars. They can track you. They can track you by your phone. They get, the next thing they want to do is they got the technology right now to track people. I mean, you say, well, they didn't have that technology in the 1970s. They didn't have that technology in the 1980s. They had it about the 1990s. They got it now. They got that technology. You say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying we're closer now than we ever have been before. The Lord coming back. I mean, are you ready? I mean, you're going to stick your head in the sand, so I don't believe he's coming. Well, you can say that all you want. I'm going to serve God until I die. And if the Lord doesn't come back, I'm a big plant in the ground. But one day I'm coming up, amen? At the rapture, I'm coming up. And what happens, a lot of Christians get discouraged and they think, well, I've been doing this. I've been serving God. I did my time. No, you act like you've been in prison. I'm not in prison. I'm enjoying life. I'm enjoying what God's given me. I'm enjoying being able to serve him. Boy, what a blessing it is. Well, if you get that thing in mind, say, well, it's a blessing to serve God. It's an honor to serve him. I mean, man, it's a privilege to be able to serve him. Why? He saved me. He delivered me. Look what the Bible says. It's saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the Father fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of. Let me ask you something. Are you willingly ignorant this morning? You're just turning your nose away from the truth? Are you willingly saying, I'm not going to follow God just because everybody else is doing it? I don't see a whole lot of people following the Lord. You know what the Bible says? Jesus said, shall I find faith on the earth? Luke chapter 18. He said, look in your Bible. Look, hold your place there. Look in Luke 18. Look what he says. You know what the devil's job is? It's to wear out the saints. Is he wearing you out? You say, well, I'm wore out. Then there's something wrong with you. You ain't reading your Bible. You ain't getting strengthened on the inner man. You ain't getting on a daily basis. Look at Luke 18. Did I say Matthew? I said Luke 18. Look at Luke 18 and look at verse 18:8. Look at 18:8. And look, let's start at verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray, not to faint. Saying, you know, the Bible says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your faith is small. Say, preacher, you ain't been through nothing. Oh, yes, I have. I've been through a lot. I told somebody the other day, I said, my father had that trash business all my life of growing up. And all, every day, every minute we lived about the business. It was about the business. It was about the business. I don't care what. We sacrificed everything about the business. My brother was sacrificed because of business. My family was sacrificed because of business. That didn't amount to nothing. My brother died. My older brother goes to prison. We sacrificed everything for the business. You know what Jesus said? I must be about my father's business. I mean, that's the best business you could ever be in. Amen. We were in the trash business, just picking up trash. People say, I just went from a trash truck to other things. I'm still picking up trash. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Not to faint. Not to faint. Not to faint. It says, saying, there is a city, a judge, that which feared not God, neither regarded man. You know what, I'm going to tell you this. God got me out of a garbage truck, got me out of a trash can. And I tell you what, the greatest business you can be in is God's business. And there was a widow in that city, and she came on him saying, avenge of mine adversary. You know our adversary is? The devil. One day the Lord's going to avenge him. We're going to watch the devil stand before God. According to Isaiah, he's going to walk in before God, and he's going to tremble, and God's going to cast him out. We're going to watch it. I'm going to get a front row seat. We're going to see it. The Bible says, I think it's in Zechariah, they said, is this the man that caused the world to tremble? Is this the guy? Is this him? You're going to watch your adversary get cast in the lake of fire. So where's that at? So that's in the Bible. You're going to watch our adversary. It's not your wife. It's not your husband. It's not your children. It's not your cousin. It's the devil. Old Flip Wilson used to say, the devil made me do it. A lot of times the flesh. Look at here. There was a widow in the city. She came on him saying, avenge of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because of the widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she wearieth me. You know what I get out of that? That means keep going to God till you get your prayers answered. Keep going to God till you get the answer. Keep going to him. Say, Lord, I need you to do this. I need you to, Lord, I need this. I need this. Keep going to him. Don't give up. I'm the kind of guy, I don't like to give up on nothing. I don't like to give up on nothing. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect? That's talking about the Jew, which crieth day and night unto him, though he bear long with them. You know, the Jews, they said, after World War II, when the Jews came out of concentration camps and all that, the Jews got bitter at God. They said, God, if there was a God in heaven, he wouldn't let us go through this. I mean, why did God allow 6 million Jews die in a concentration camp? Why did he let them be gassed? The Jews got to be atheists. You go over Israel right now, there's more atheistic Jews than there are religious Jews. You say, why is that? Because they, when they crucified their Messiah, now listen to me, when they crucified their Messiah, when Jesus Christ was there and they came, he said, I come to seek and save that which is lost. And they said, we don't believe him. He was the Messiah. Right in front of them, the blessing of God. They said, kill him. We have no king but Caesar. You better be careful who you make king in your life. You better be careful who you make king. If you're sitting on the throne, God have mercy on you. You better let the Lord be on the throne inside. You better let God have his way. If you make somebody else a king, look out, man. You look out. They said, we have no king but Caesar. And the Lord says, okay. And they kill him. They killed Jesus Christ and crucified him. So guess what? They said, let his blood be on us and on our children. You know what they did? They brought a curse upon themselves. You better be careful who you make king. You better say, God, help me get down low. The Bible says, God resists the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. And the Bible says he spake this parable, verse 9. He says, he spake this, back up to verse 7. And shall not the God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night on him, though he bear along with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? I mean, he says, when he comes back, is he going to find faith? You know what faith is? Faith has got to be built. Every man, the Bible says, God puts in every man, every woman, a measure of faith. You have a measure of faith, and everybody, you have a measure of faith, 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 you have a measure. Everybody born has a measure of faith. It depends on how you build it. You might have faith in man. I don't have faith in man. I don't have faith in the environment. I don't have faith in, you know, a lot of people. I don't have faith in them. But I'll tell you what, I got faith in God. And you're supposed to build your most holy faith. How do you build your faith? By getting in the Word of God. Then trials come in your life. Trials come no matter whether you're lost or saved. My family went through all kinds of trials. Our house burnt down. My brother got run over by a truck and all this. And after I was saved, my house burned up. My son got run over by a car. Everything that I went through before, I went through after. But this time it turned out different. Amen. Faith. Faith gets built. And the more you get in that book, the more faith is built. And the Bible says, without faith is impossible to what? How's your faith this morning? He said, when I come back, am I going to find faith on the earth? You know what? You know what Jesus Christ was? We was in the Garden of Gethsemane. There's a tree in the Garden of Gethsemane that we stood next to. It's been over 2,000 years old. And I thought, maybe my Lord, from his tears, watered that tree. We stood there looking at that tree. It's an ugly-looking tree. You would think, oh, that's got to be a beautiful tree. No, it's an ugly-looking tree. And, man, that thing's been there 2,000 years. Jesus Christ had to be there with that tree in the garden. But he said, he went back to the disciples. He said, couldn't y'all watch for an hour? Couldn't you watch? They were falling asleep. You know what's happening to the church? Late out of seeing church, he's knocking on the door. Everybody inside is sleeping. Your faith is sleeping. You shouldn't be asleep. We used to have a guy come here, come to church, and brother, he would fall asleep right during the service. Always fall asleep. But if I start talking about money, his eyes would get big. I'm not kidding. I would notice it. I just started talking about money randomly, and he would wake right up. He could smell it. Go back to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Look at this. The saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perisheth. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved on the fire against the day of judgment and perdition of the ungodly man. Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. So it's only been two days since Jesus Christ was crucified. 2 days. Think about that. That's hard to comprehend, ain't it? One day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. It's only been 2 days. If a man lives 70 years, his life is only 1 hour and 45 minutes with God. And it says God's going to reserve, he says he reserved the earth. Why? The next time the earth gets destroyed, it was destroyed by water. And then what's the next one? Fire. He said, well, are you scaring me? No, I'm not afraid. Not afraid at all. When you know the truth sets you free. But you know what? It makes you more conscious and makes you more sober-minded. When you know what's right and what's coming, it makes you more conscious about what's coming, and you start praying right, rather than just me, give me. And if I don't get it, throw a fit like a child. When you know, man, when you realize the most valuable thing, said, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Soul man. We waste our time on a lot of things. Now, the Lord's coming back. Now, look at this. The Lord's not slack, verse 9. As some men count slackness, long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Seeing then all that these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversations and godliness? Peter saying, Simon Peter, here's the one that cussed that said he didn't even know Jesus Christ. Here's the guy that said, I don't even know the blanky blank. I don't even know him. Jesus said, you're going to deny me. You know, everybody in this room, I'm sure you've denied the Lord somewhere. Me too. We've denied God in something. And I can't beat up on Peter because Peter denied the Lord standing beside the fire. I'm going to tell you something. Every time you get around the world's fire, you'll find yourself denying God. Amen. Every time you hang with the world, you're going to deny the Lord. There'll be pressure on you to deny him instead of being a light and a witness to the world. You'll want to be just like them. Act just like them. Do just like them. Why? I don't want to be different. Let me tell you something. Jesus said, this is what you ought to be in your holy conversation and godliness, looking for and the hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved. He said, why does God have to burn up the heavens? You know, I read somewhere where there's like almost 1,000 pieces of junk floating around in space. There's all kinds of satellites. Thank God for satellites. You wouldn't have a phone if it wasn't for a satellite. You wouldn't have none of that stuff. You wouldn't have satellite TV if it wasn't for a satellite. That satellite, the first satellite ever put up into space in the 1970s where we could have live television 24 hours a day. First one, it's called Telstar. Now Telstar is done. They got other satellites up there. They got over, I guess, about 1,000 pieces of junk floating around. God's going to have to burn up. Why? Because man got on the moon. Man stepped on the moon. You know what the moon's a type of in the Bible? The moon's the type of the church. Man steps on the moon, said one step for mankind. Man steps on the moon, and God's going to have to clean it up. Anywhere man goes, God has to clean the mess up. And man steps on the moon. The moon's the type of the church. Guess what's happening? The church is getting defiled. Looking for that in the hastening of the coming day. Look at verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Aren't you logging for that day? I mean, you look at Washington, D.C. You look at Moscow, and you look at China, you look at all these different men that's in charge around the world, and you look at all these people that's in charge, there's always an undercurrent about money. It's all about, you know, Hillary getting, you know, she said, we left the White House, we're poor as church mice. Now they got, you know, $200 million. Where'd that come from? How is it a guy goes to Washington and making $40,000 a year and leaves there a millionaire? What happens? We're talking about a swamp. Everybody's getting a kickback. And things are done and laws are passed, all kinds of stuff. For what? For man's pocketing money. For man's unjust and unrighteous things. One day the Lord's going to come back, and boy, I tell you what, he's going to be a righteous judge. The Bible says he's going to rule with a rod of iron. I mean, you said, why is he going to rule? Because he's going to have a lot of other dictators kind of stand up and try to take his place. And you find that in the book of Revelation. But look, take your Bible, look with me. We're going to look, that's just to get us started. Look in Daniel chapter 2. Look in Daniel chapter 2. The book of Daniel and the Revelation go hand in hand. And when you read Daniel, you said, preacher, you know why preachers don't preach on this prophecy about the Lord coming back? And all the way through your Bible, from Genesis all the way to Malachi, from Matthew to Revelation, it has a phrase or a passage about the Lord coming back. And boy, I tell you what, I'm excited when I read it. You say, what do you do? I say, even so, come Lord Jesus. Come on, Lord. You know that last prayer of the Bible says that you all get a blessing by saying, come on, Lord. We want the Lord to come back. How many of y'all want to see Jesus come back? Amen? Amen. If Jesus comes back, that means the rapture is going to take place. You're going to have loved ones. I'm going to have loved ones left behind. We went down through Virginia as we was going down 81. We stopped in near Newmarket, Virginia. And as we stopped there, I got me a phone book. I went in a restaurant and I said, can I have a phone book? And I got a phone book. There's a lot of Ryman's in the right off on 81. And I got a phone book and I started going down through. I'm going to call every one of them and witness to them. I'm going to call their phone numbers that's in the book. I'm going to try to get hold of them. Witness. My dad used to always want to go to down there to Virginia. He'd always say, come on, go with me to the family reunion. And I said, I didn't care about history. I didn't care about none of that stuff. And man, my mother would always say, come on, go to North Carolina with me. Go down to family reunion. Her maiden name was Hardy and Moore. Her mama's side was Moore and Hardy. And my dad's side was Ryman and Fry. And got a Fry right next door over here. I went over here and I call, every time I see him, I always say, hey, cuz. He says, I ain't your cousin. I said, yes, you are, Fry. But Ryman, but I got that book and I'm going to call. Sam says, what are you doing with that book? I said, I'm going to call people. I'm going to harass them. I'm going to see them saved. Look in Daniel chapter 2. In Daniel chapter 2, here's a prophecy, or actually a dream that Nebuchadnezzar has. And Nebuchadnezzar, if you know anything about your Bible and know anything about history, Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon. And he was the king over Babylon, over all the world. He ruled the whole world. And whatever Nebuchadnezzar said, whenever there's a monarch like Nebuchadnezzar, all he had to do is say, I don't like your looks, cut his head off. Your head was cut off. I mean, man, that's something. You're talking about power. And they say power like that corrupts. And Nebuchadnezzar was the king of all the world. And then he didn't recognize who God was, and God made an animal out of him for about 7 years. And he turned into an animal. But before all this, Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. And Nebuchadnezzar has this dream that he sees this. He doesn't know what it is. He doesn't remember what it was. And only God, and even the astrologers and the soothsayers and all the magicians and all of them, they said nobody can interpret a dream unless they and without a dream. You got to tell us what the dream is. And Nebuchadnezzar says, I don't remember. I don't remember what it was, but I know it was something big. And the reason why he did that was so Daniel would get recognition. And he did that when he gave Daniel recognition of the book of Daniel. And Daniel and Revelation go hand in hand. And Nebuchadnezzar says, I had this dream. And he calls the soothsayers in. He calls all the magicians. He calls everybody in and says, tell me my dream and give me the interpretation of it. And they went, what? I mean, can you imagine that? I don't know how many there were. They had maybe 100 soothsayers, maybe more. And magicians and all that stuff. And he calls them in. He says, I had a dream. And I don't remember it, but you can tell me. You claim to be powerful. You claim to be in the underworld. You claim to have all this power. I want you to tell me my dream and tell me the interpretation thereof. He said, if you don't, I'm going to cut you to pieces and make your house a dunghill. Now, if you don't know what a dunghill is, it's worse than an outhouse. And he said, and they said, nobody, no king, nobody's ever asked this kind of thing. I mean, this is unheard of. He said, I've already said it. If you don't do it, they tell Daniel. And Daniel goes with his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He goes with those three guys, and they start praying, God, show us the dream and give us the interpretation. And that dream was for thousands of years from that point all the way up past us, way past us. That dream's still going on. The interpretation of that dream is still happening. Isn't that crazy? I mean, you're talking about 3,000 years. It's still happening. Right on the money. We're at the dream. Look here. Look at what the Bible says. In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed, verse 1, dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep taken break from him. And the king commanded to call the magicians, the astrologers. He got astrologers now. Sorcerers. We got sorcerers. We got magicians. The Chaldeans, for to show the king his dream. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I had dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac. See, they say all them people back there were so stupid, and they could speak different languages. They could interpret languages. The Syriac language. It says, he spake in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servant the dream, and we will show the interpretation. And the king answered, said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If ye will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. Brother, you talking about your life is at stake. And if they would have came up with a dream and said, well, let's tell him this, he won't remember. He would have known. But God wanted to give Daniel recognition. You know what God's always looking for? He's looking for a man or a woman that will trust him. God's always looking for somebody that will just flat out trust him. Jesus said, shall I find faith on the earth when I come? Are you going to be one of them? Most Christians, they just put on a show. This is a big show. The Laodicean church age is just a big show. Everybody putting on the dog, building bigger buildings. And they, see, they knew they can't keep people with old-time preaching. They can't keep people with old-time singing, so they got to have rock bands. They got to have strobe lights. They got to have all that stuff, and they got to have magicians come on. They got to have rappers. They got to have all this stuff trying to get the attention of people, trying to keep them so they can say, look, God's blessed us. That's not always the blessing of God. Nebuchadnezzar had a whole kingdom. I mean, anything he wanted, he had. So did Solomon. The Bible says, God said, Nebuchadnezzar said, if you don't give me the interpretation and the dream, you're dead. What a thing. Look on down. It says, they answered again and said, let the king tell his servant the dream. Verse 7, and we will show the interpretation of it. And the king answered and said, I know of certainty that ye would gain the time. So this thing's urgent. And because ye see the thing is gone from me, if ye will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you. Ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me. He knew what they were, a bunch of liars. He says, and it says, till the time be changed, or prepare lying and corrupt words to speak on before me, till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I will know that ye can show the interpretation thereof. And the Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man, look at here, there is not a man on the earth that show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, nor lord, nor ruler that asked such thing of any magician, astrologer, or Chaldean. You got all these people saying, oh, I can call up the dead. I talk to the dead. You did got a guy on TV, and people go, oh. And he probably is. It's probably, you know what? Jean Dixon, she could talk to the dead. And she predicted John F. Kennedy get killed. That made her famous. She said, John F. Kennedy's going to get killed in Dallas. She tried to stop it. You know why? The devil knows. He's got people that's unclean spirits in them that knows when something's coming down. And God gives them that power to do it. When something, but you know what? People don't know this. Jean Dixon, she only hit 20% of her predictions. And all these others, that's all they are, 20%. But and with this here, brother, none of them could open their mouth. They're supposed to have the Spirit of God. There was a guy in the book of Acts that saw Peter and James and all of them and Paul healing people. And he said, give me that power. Because he was some great man. He had an unclean spirit in him. They cast the devil out of that guy. The devils and unclean spirits can tell you stuff. And that's why you see these palm readers and all that. I would never go into one of them. But I like going there and preach to them. You know what the Bible says? Saul went to a woman, and she said, hey, he said, tell me what's going to happen tomorrow when I go to battle. And she went, you know, Saul, he cast out all the magicians and soothsayers and all that out of the land, and I could die for this. And Saul said, you're not going to die. And then the Bible says that she called up Samuel, and Samuel came up. Said, did Samuel come up? Evidently he did, because he told the truth. God did a thing there and scared her so bad that she couldn't believe it. It scared her. She went, ah! She screamed when she saw Samuel. So God's able to bring up something. So look here. I love this, man. See, I like this stuff. I like prophecy. You know why? Because I like reading the book. I know who's going to win. Woo! Glory, hallelujah. My Savior's going to win. I want everybody to know I'm on his side. I used to be proud of my brother. We'd get in a fight, and I said, I'll get my big brother. I'm proud of my big brother, you know. But I never did that, but that would have been cool to do. But anyway, let's move on back. Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2, where are we at? We're at verse 11. It is a rare thing that the king require, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods. Notice the gods, little g, whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this cause the king was angry and very furious, commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. Here the king sitting on a throne. He's got an army that's conquered the world. And he says, he gets mad. And when he got mad, brother, that's bad. He got mad at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego because they wouldn't bow down to his God. He said, fire up the furnace seven times hotter. And they threw him in. And the Bible says he looked in and he says, my Lord, they're walking around in there. He said, and the fourth man looks like the Son of God. You know what God did? He played some tricks on Nebuchadnezzar, even though he was the world leader, the world conqueror. Look at here. I'm going to have to stop. I got to stop here. For this cause, the king was angry, very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. So that means they started killing people right there. The king said, kill them. And the soldiers came out and started killing them, all of them. And they started looking around for all the wise men. And then the Bible says the word came to Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So Daniel tells his captain, the captain of the guard says, you go tell the king, we'll give him an answer and we'll interpret that dream for him and we'll give him the answer of it. Boy, you're talking about a miracle. And that, look what happens. This cliffhanger, maybe I ought to stop right here. Come back next week and hit it. It says, Daniel answered counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was going forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? And Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. And Daniel went in and desired the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. So how much time did he have? It wasn't a lot. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. You know what the Bible says? Where two or three gather together in his name, I'm going to tell you something. You got something hard going on in your life, get some other Christians that you know that can get a hold of God, that knows how to pray, and start praying. Start asking God, help me. Their lives were at stake. Them guys are going to die if God didn't answer the prayer. You need to get people together and pray. I was thinking about this morning. I thought about having everybody fill out a card. I got cards in there. Maybe I'll still do it next week. I was going to preach on prayer. I thought about having everybody fill out a card and put your name, family name, brother, Coleman on there, Coleman, and then put Howard, and then put Peggy, and then put down the line, and then, you know, everybody fill out a card and put your family name on it, and then we'll pass it around and give them somebody else and let them pray all week for you. And then next week, bring them back, put them in the thing, and somebody else take another card and pray all week for that family. Wouldn't that be good? I believe we see some things happening. You got lost loved ones you want to pray for? Matter of fact, we might still do that. I got them cards in the back. I thought about doing that this morning. Have everybody pray one for another. You know what we don't? We don't pray one for another like we should. We don't pray a lot of times over our food. I hope when you go to a restaurant, I hope you bow your head and pray. Well, I went in a pawn shop down in Kentucky, and we was walking around looking at stuff, and I got witnessing those guys in there and found out they were saved, and a guy was another guy was homeless. I witnessed him. I wanted to see, man, I tell you what, I just want to talk about the Lord and want to pray for me. He said, what'd you do? I prayed with him right there. Well, I'll tell you something. We don't see a lot happening because we ain't praying. We ain't praying. How many of y'all pray for the service this morning? Don't you lie. Look on down. So Daniel gets together with his three friends, and they start praying. If you're hanging around somebody that don't pray, and they're not saved, shame on you. Shame on you. Why? Because they're going to influence you. Most time you say, well, I'm going to influence them. Check yourself out. Check yourself out. See how much they're influencing you, how much you're influencing them. Check yourself out. Are you praying with people? Praying with your coworkers? Well, they don't want to pray. Well, pray for them. Slipping, man. You're slipping. 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 Shall I find faith on the earth when I come? Slipping. You're going to go further than you want to go. It's not going to leave you like it found you. It's going to cost you more than you want to pay. You're slipping. So the story is, God gives him the answer to prayer. I'm going to tell you something, folks. When you get an answer to prayer, you just don't go, oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the man, they got together and they prayed. And they asked God. And look what the Bible says. Look what the Bible says. And Daniel, verse 27, answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king have demanded, cannot the wise men and astrologers, magicians, soothsayers show the king? Daniel goes up and says, hey, king, Daniel's head was at stake. He says, couldn't they do it? These are the people you trusted in. Let me say this while I'm right there. Some of y'all trusting the wrong people. I watched a thing yesterday, man, broke my heart. I love boxing, and you know I like fighting and stuff. I watched a little thing about Evander Holyfield. To me, I love old Evander Holyfield, and I liked when him and Mike Tyson fought. I mean, we was at Squeaky's house the night when Evander beat Holyfield. Evander beat Tyson the first time. I was at Squeaky's house. There were 30 of us in there. Rachel was there, and man, when he knocked Tyson down, we all jumped up to our feet and started screaming. Whoa! Get him! We were screaming a lot. Man, we all, we was all screaming and yelling. It's like 1 o'clock in the morning, man. We're having a time. Yeah. Man, when Evander hit him with that left and then came up the uppercut and bam, bam, bam. I mean, just kept hitting him and Tyson started doing that. Man, we were screaming. We were having a time. And oh, it's just like Muhammad Ali and Tyson, they went for Allah, and they followed Allah. That didn't do them no good. Neither did Holyfield. Holyfield was supposed to be saved, but he didn't live for God. Holyfield made $200 million. $200 million. He built a house, $20 million house, and had it built. And man, they were showing that thing. And he said, and what happened was he lost it because he couldn't maintain it. He didn't have the money. He said, he got everybody and their brother wanted money from him, and he was giving money out. He was signing papers saying, you've sponsored this, sponsored that, and he lost everything he had. He lost everything. And A-Rod, which is Rodriguez, Alex Rodriguez. Alex Rodriguez now has a show that he's going around helping all these celebrities and stuff that lost all their millions and trying to get them back on their feet and trying to help them out. And Alex kept his millions, but he's a smart dude. And he goes to Holyfield and tell Holyfield, said, well, you want to help? If you want me to help you, then tell me. And Holyfield, he said, everybody that's told you you're going to help you, they've taken advantage of you. He said, I will not take advantage of you because I'm willing to invest my money in you. And I watched that thing. I thought, man, oh, man, that's good stuff. But he trusted man, and man took advantage of him. Look at Mike Tyson. He trusted Don King. Don King took every time. While he was in jail, he said, just sign right here, Michael. Just sign right here. And him, he signed away his fortune. Yeah, I like that. I like boxing. I like seeing all that stuff. But, man, I thought, man. He said, what did you do? I prayed for old Holyfield. Yesterday I was praying for him. Pray the Lord help him. I've tried to get George Foreman to come up here to preach for us. I like old George Foreman. He named all his kids George, 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 George. And then the girls were Georgiana, I guess. But where were we? Back here in the Bible. We're in the Bible somewhere. The Bible says in verse, 27. Look at 28. And there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets. You know, that Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. And make known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Notice that. This prophecy, I said all that to get to this. This prophecy was from that time all the way past up to the Antichrist and past the Antichrist. And God gave that to Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we're going to cover that next time. We'll get into that next time. Amen. Father, thank you again for your word. Lord, thank you. Lord Jesus, come soon. Come back quickly. Watch over our families. God, protect our children and our grandchildren. Help them put the fear of God in them. Everybody in this room, I pray put the fear of God in us. Give us a tender heart towards you. Help us to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We thank you for saving us. Thank you for your mercy. If there's somebody here today that's not saved, I pray you save them today. Open